what trends or changes have you seen in the author community between 2020 and now?
There's a bit of a sense of panic.
Yes. just in a nutshell right there.
Let's be honest. You know us. We keep it real around here.
Welcome to the Wish I'd Known Then podcast, where we focus on how authors found success, looking at strategies that have taken them to the top of the bestseller charts, as well as what they've learned from their mistakes. Because being an indie author is more than knowing the latest marketing trend. It's about being innovative and creative and learning from your mistakes.
Welcome to Wish I'd Known Then podcast. I'm Sarah Rosette.
And I'm Jamie Albright. And this week on the show, we are recapping 2023 and the life of the podcast, because this week is our
200th episode.
Yes, it is. Woo-hoo.
Yay.
Very exciting.
Yeah, we just happened. I always put the number in there, and I just recently paid attention to it. You know, I just type it in there and go on. I was like, oh, my goodness, we're coming up on the 200th episode.
Can you believe that?
Wow. Yes. It's pretty crazy when you think about it.
Insane. Yeah. Yeah.
It is.
Who would have thought?
Yeah. So we're going to do a little retrospective. We'll talk about, we're going to look at the top episodes and kind of some stats from this year. Mm-hmm. And then we'll look at like top episodes overall, what people have really been interested in. And then we've got some trends for 2024 that mm-hmm. will probably impact authors. And so we won't get super in depth in that. We will just talk about like, this is a trend and we'll talk through how we think it could apply. And then maybe mm-hmm. you may have different ideas that yep. work better for you. So, yep. So that's what we're going to do.
Yep. And then Sarah and I both have some things from this year that we've learned or, you know,
changes we've seen, things that we've done.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. All right, so we're going to jump in. We got the stats from, these are from Buzzcast. These are downloads across all platforms and top things that, different top facts, I guess. Mm-hmm. So we released 57 episodes this year. Mm-hmm. And I thought this was really interesting. The top cities downloading episodes, number one was Sydney in New South Wales, which that surprised both of us, I think, right?
Yeah, it did. It did. That's just weird. Yeah. Great.
Yeah. We're happy. Hello, Australia. Yeah. And then number two was Melbourne. Mm-hmm. And number three was Dallas, which that makes more sense to us since we're in Texas.
Yeah.
Number four was Portland and number five was Seattle. But it just goes to show you don't know. You don't know who's listening and where. So it's kind of fun.
Right.
So we have the top five episodes that were downloaded the most this year. So do we want to go 5-1 or
Do 5-1.
Okay. So the fifth most downloaded episode was Olivia Hale on reader-centric books and promotion.
Mm-hmm.
And then number four was How to Pace Your Novel with Inés Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Number three was How to Use Tropes to Create Strong Characters and Deepen Conflict with Jennifer Hilt, which also gets the longest title episode, I think.
Episode title.
Number two is Angela Lawson on Learning to Use Tropes in Universal Fantasy. And number one was How to Thrive in a Flooded Market, discussing Becca Syme's New Rules of Publishing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So
that's a great listen. Everybody should probably go back and listen to that one.
Yes, because that's kind of where we are right now.
It's where we are. Yeah.
Yeah. But it was really interesting looking at all these because it kind of gives you a snapshot of what's going on this mm-hmm. year. Mm-hmm. I thought maybe we should talk about trends and what's happened this year, but this kind of tells you people are interested in how to make their books stand out to readers and how to make their writing really good, how to improve their craft and kind of keeping up with changes in the market.
Yeah, because it is a flooded market.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. All right. So that was this year.
Yeah. But looking back over the last 4 years, our first episode was January 15th, 2020. Little did we know.
I was going to say, had we but known,
that would have been, wow. And that was with Becca Syme. She was our first guest.
Yes.
But our all-time top episodes, number five, was What We Wish We'd Known About Creating Characters that we did together. Mm-hmm. Tammy LeBrec on what to email the newsletter subscribers.
Mm-hmm.
Number three was the book launch plan, the mega episode. That was the two of us. And it was
a huge, long episode. That's an early one too. Yeah,
it was. Yeah. Holly Darling on the power of an email welcome sequence. And the number one episode really of all time is Zoe York's on secret pen names, iterating your goals, and TikTok for authors. Yep. So that's very exciting.
Yeah. And we'll have links to all of these in the show notes.
Yeah,
if someone sounds interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll put some links in there. So, we just had a couple, we were going to talk about a couple of things like, what trends or changes have you seen in the author community between 2020 and now? You want to go first? You want me to?
I'll go first. There's a bit of a sense of panic.
Yes. just in a nutshell right there.
Let's be honest. You know us. We keep it real around here. Yeah. I mean, there's this kind of overarching sense of panic in the industry. Kind of frenetic, is that the right word? Energy of people really scrambling to try to figure out this new market that we're in, because, you know, 2020, I think, really brought, was the beginning of that flooding of the market, because people had time that they had never had before. They wrote books, they put them out, you know.
Lots of new authors, as well as authors who had time and published more.
It also was flooded with free books in 2020. Is what I really noticed, because, you know, we were all trying to help, you know, and I think it overwhelmed readers, you know, looking back. I think that readers started to become overwhelmed with like all the books on their TBR. What else have I noticed since 2020? Well, you know, I mean, the big ones, sales, and well, Kickstarter's part of direct sales. Yeah. That's a big one. Yeah, ads are changing. They're not as, in some ways, not as effective as they were, because Facebook's changed, because, you know, the election in 2020 changed things for Facebook and, then,
like who you were able to direct ads to and all that.
Who you could get your stuff to. And then Amazon's changed a couple of times since then. So
yeah, I think really the rise of advertising has been huge, because now there's so much on our product pages that we didn't have before. There's that. There's more of the pay to play that we didn't have. And I think that's just an overall trend going on. This week, they've announced that Amazon Prime video is going to include ads. So that's a trend we're seeing everywhere.
Right. I'm ashamed to say I'm paying the $2.99 a month, so I don't get the ads because I can't.
I will pay. Once you've had no ads, I just can't go back.
You cannot go back. It's all
go back.
I can't work on TV now.
I know. I can't either. I'm not used to it. Yeah. One thing I've noticed too is a more of an emphasis on sustainability. I think we've kind of come around to that. I think we went through like a period of burnout, pretty intense, and now we're much more aware as an author community that like we have to be careful, that we can't just write every day all day, and we have to exercise and have a life outside our work or we get burnt out. I think that's changed. And I think there's more emphasis on diverse characters, interesting. Authors are writing about characters and situations that maybe they didn't in the past, and they're finding a readership.
And hopefully authors of color and LGBTQ plus authors are seeing a rise in their readership as well, because they have, you know, hopefully we've seen, an uptake in who reads those books, the awareness that they're there. That would be my hope. I mean, of course, I can't speak to that, but that would be my hope, that we have, as a community, we're lifting up those authors more and put them more forward facing.
Yeah.
But if we're not, we need to do better. And as I'm sure we need to do better anyway. I think that what I have noticed too is, I said this, I don't know, I've said it a couple of times to you and to Claire Taylor and stuff, but you know, when we started, the way we met was the self-publishing podcast and listening to that podcast and then going to their conference. And, you know, those guys were, they were cowboys, you know, they were.
And it was the Wild West back then.
It was the Wild West back then. I mean, and they were doing all kinds of crazy stuff just to see if it worked, you know, and they did it. So we didn't have to, you know,
we just kind of followed along and went, okay, that didn't work for them. So I'm not going to do that or I will try that.
And I said, that's what we're missing today. You know, we're missing that kind of, just those people, those risk takers doing things. And, you know, Claire brought up a good point. She was like, well, there aren't that many risks to take, you know, the market is more stagnant. And so there just aren't any new things to try right now. Mm-hmm. And that is when we have to all change our thinking a little bit, especially those of us that have been publishing since you know, before 2017, 18, you know?
Yeah.
And so, that's what I've noticed. There's just not a lot of new stuff coming down.
Right. Yeah. The market has definitely matured. That's what I thought too, because now we have so many tools that, you know, weren't available even 5 years ago.
Yeah. That, which is great. Like, that is the plus side of it. Yeah.
So we've got all these things to help us do things like different types of ads, different type of platforms, different types of production tools, you know, just, and communities too. Like we didn't have, like that, conference that we met at, that was the first indie conference that we both attended. And it was, I think probably the first indie conference, maybe. I'm not sure if there were others, but now like we're all connected and we know what's going on and we have like Facebook groups and chat online things. So it's like, we know, if something's happening, we know about it and, and we hear about it. You know, you don't have to go to a conference now to find out that Kickstarters and direct sales are like the hot topics, you know? So things have changed that way too.
Right. So I, a lot of changes since 2020.
different years.
So how is recording the podcast for, recording a podcast for authors nearly every week for 4 years changed anything about how you think about your author career or the author community?
I think for me, it's given me a bigger perspective. It's helped me see, and I do see things now that like we'll begin to talk to people and I'll go, oh, this is becoming a thing. And we'll hear people talk about things and it's helped me be more open and interested in changes and different things. Whereas in the past, and part of that I think is I've just seen things change. And as they change, it's like you either adapt or you get stuck. And so, and I'm not a risk taker, you know? So, but it has helped me see what's coming. So I think that's been helpful. And it's just given me so many more friends in the author community. It's been awesome. That's like my favorite part. What about you?
Me too. Me too. I mean, that's, I would agree with what you say. And I don't know that I have a whole lot to add to that as far as, you know, it does just give us a perspective on the new things that are going on and, you know, kind of attitudes and things like that. But mostly it's just, I just have such a love for this community. I mean, it's just, because we are in people's ears once a week and have been for 3 years, when we go places, it makes them feel like they know us, which I love because they're not shy about coming up and saying hello and talking to us. And I just, I love that. I love knowing that we have impacted this community that has meant so much to me and that I love so much. So
yeah, it makes me happy.
It makes me happy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. When we first, I think the first conference or two we went to after mm-hmm. we'd started this, we'd been doing like 6 months to a year. Mm-hmm. And I had several people say that we were their like daily companion, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. during COVID. So stuff yeah. like that is just really cool.
Right. Right. Yeah. COVID. Whew, it really got me through COVID.
Yeah. And I mean, that was like the bright spot for me mm-hmm. during COVID. So mm-hmm. even though we didn't know what was going to happen mm-hmm. and if we had known, I think we still would have done the podcast anyway.
Oh, yeah.
We would have started it just to give us an outlet to talk.
We might not have been as optimistic as we were.
yeah. That's funny. Okay, well, so now we're going to switch and we're going to look ahead to 2024.
Yep.
And I saw this, it was actually an infographic and I'll link to it, which is like a summary from an article. It was called Life Trends, a study done by, or a survey done by Accenture, which is a consulting company, I believe. Mm-hmm. And so this is like their quote for what this is trends that will give businesses a way to navigate change in the next 12 months and beyond, which I thought, mm-hmm. sign me up. I need that.
Yeah.
So we're just going to touch on a couple of the trends. There are mm-hmm. like five major ones, but we're just going to talk about three of them. Mm-hmm. So the first one was customer service. And the quote is, necessary cuts across enterprises have shunted customer obsession down the priority list, and customers are noticing. Mm-hmm. One of the stats they included said 47% of customers feel less valued when they face difficulty reaching or talking to unsupportive customer service agents. And I don't know about you, but I really feel this one.
Yeah.
So I think that's pretty common across mm-hmm. the board. Like people mm-hmm. I know, my friends and family, like mm-hmm. if you have an issue and you're dealing with a big company, it's mm-hmm. so frustrating.
Yeah. Yeah. The only person, when I lost my account with Facebook, the only person I have spoken with is someone who called me looking for the person who hacked my account.
No.
To try to get me to run certain ads. It was one of the ad specialists. Yeah. That's the only live person I've spoken to. She got an earful that day.
Not who you want to hear from, right?
Bless her little heart. she wasn't expecting that. But I mean, that was after 3 months of nothing yeah. happening. And it still hasn't. I ended yeah. up having to open an account, but another account, but yeah, it's a big deal. So that's why things like BookBub, mm-hmm. I mean, not BookBub, BookFunnel. Mm-hmm. I'm sure BookBub's great. I've just never had to call their customer service, but BookFunnel is amazing because they've got somebody that's going to walk you through or walk our readers through things that, mm-hmm. If they have problems and stuff.
Yeah. And as more and more authors are going into Kickstarter and direct sales, mm-hmm. this is something we really haven't had to deal with much mm-hmm. before. Like mostly it was like, if they had trouble getting their reader magnet. But now, like with my Shopify store, I have it set up pretty well. And people are purchasing the book from me early before it mm-hmm. comes out on the retailers, which is great.
Right.
I do have emails from people, like one person accidentally ordered twice. So I have to go in and mm-hmm. fix that. And some people are like, well, I decided I don't want this, or I changed my mind. And so it's just stuff you have to deal with. So I think that's something that in the future, if you're really leaning hard into direct sales, you're going to have to figure out how to handle all that. Mm-hmm. And it may be an assistant, or you might, just something we probably need to be thinking about.
Mm-hmm. Well, and also I think that, if we're an actual person that our mm-hmm. readers are connected to, either mm-hmm. through our newsletter or our groups or whatever, I have somebody that posts in my group every day. I mean, I pay mm-hmm. her to post in my group every day. And just to keep some engagement going, especially this year, with everything mm-hmm. going on with me. But if we have... Like if people are really feeling that lack of personal attention and mm-hmm. we give that to them in the form of our newsletter or mm-hmm. any kind of personal contact we have with them, then that's going to make a difference. That's going to stand out to them. And that's something we can think about moving forward as authors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it really does make a difference if somebody gets in touch and you reply back and you sign the email mm-hmm. and it's from the author or the author's assistant, mm-hmm. then, and if it's quick, if it's not, mm-hmm. it's just like the next day or two, mm-hmm. I had somebody trying to track down, they were like, this print book hasn't arrived yet. Do you know when it'll arrive? And I told them, well, it was printed in the UK and it's being shipped this way. Mm-hmm. And they were impressed. They were like, oh, it's coming from the UK. I didn't mm-hmm. know. And, mm-hmm. you know, just like in keeping them informed and in the loop. Right. And a lot of times if they're upset, if they get the personal reply, it kind of calms things down, you know, takes out the irritation and mm-hmm. sometimes the
smooth
snarkiness sometimes. So
absolutely. Yeah. The second is branding. Creativity was once about the audience, but it has become dependent on playing the tech system. Is this what creative stagnation feels like? 35% of respondents find app designs indistinguishable across brands, a sentiment that rises to nearly 40% among 18 to 24-year-olds. 42% of people say branding for bank and insurance services is hard to differentiate.
So this just goes to standing out in a crowded market. Mm-hmm. And when you're doing everything online, if everything looks kind of similar, how do you stand out?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So fortunately, Jamie can help you with that.
Yeah. Branding has become my new little thing. I just love it. And I think that, something that, like I've said a million times, it's that promise you make to the reader. What is that promise? And do you deliver on it every time you give them anything, mm-hmm. A post, a book, a short story, a novella, a takeover in another group, if you still do those things, your newsletter. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just knowing what that is, boiling that down and figuring it out and then dishing that up every time you interact with a mm-hmm. reader. I think that's going to become more and more important as we move forward because it is individual to each of us. I mean, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's what sets us apart. Mm-hmm. Those little tiny mm-hmm. differences that make people go, oh, yeah. I really resonate with this author mm-hmm. and, or I'm in the mood for this type of book. Mm-hmm. And if your books all have maybe a gritty, spooky kind of feel to them, mm-hmm. that's completely different from somebody who writes like a warm, cozy, small town story, you know? Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
it's those things that like people want at certain times. Maybe they don't want to read a cozy type book at Halloween, but they do at Christmas. But mm-hmm. then, you know, so like if they can figure it out from your branding and from your type of stories you've written in the past, mm-hmm. you're going to be so far ahead when people are looking for that certain type of thing, if it's clear.
Right.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people think visual when they hear branding, like mm-hmm. what is the visual brand? And that's part mm-hmm. of it, but that's not all of it. Mm-hmm. Right.
I don't think so. And I think with books and genre fiction, I think it's the emotions. What mm-hmm. is it we're giving them? What are we going to give them every time? And they know they can come to us for this thing. Mm-hmm. And then they can go to somebody else for that thing. But mm-hmm. I just feel like it's more than just the visual. Visual's important, mm-hmm. I think. But as we move more into a tech-centric society, mm-hmm. What is unique and individual to each of us as an author, and that we can serve to our readers is going to be so much more important. Mm-hmm. And that is the brand. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. And then the last one that we're going to talk about is disengaging from tech. This is the third trend, and the quote is, technology feels like it's happening to people rather than for them. Is a shift beginning where they rein in agency over its influence on their daily life. 41% of frequent tech users say that technology has complicated their lives just as much as it has simplified it. And 1 in 6 people say they are switching to less advanced tech solutions like dumb phones to control the amount of time they spend with technology, which I thought this one was super interesting.
Ooh, yeah.
So I agree that in many ways, mm-hmm. tech is not helpful. I was listening to a podcast maybe a month or so ago, and this guy was talking about he got a new printer, and he said it was the most frustrating thing because he had to have an app. Mm-hmm. He had to sign up for the app to get their mm-hmm. ink subscription, and it was like he didn't want an ink subscription, but that was the only way to use the printer. And so he ended up, I think, giving it to Goodwill because he was like, I don't need this. This is too much, too much help. You know?
Yeah.
There's so many things like that.
There are. My daughter just rented a car, and it was a Toyota, and she, to get the GPS to work, she had to download an app.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
Yeah. One time we were driving in a rental car and I had to watch a quick YouTube video on how to set the cruise because it wasn't real obvious.
Yeah. I think this one's interesting. You know, the whole AI thing is so controversial, and we have kind of stayed away from it because
we talk to people, things,
but we're not controversial.
No, but I mean, we've talked about AI, but
yeah,
this kind of goes beyond AI. This is
it
more
goes
just
beyond,
like, your like
just smartphones, dumb phones, you know?
Right. But, yeah. So I guess for authors, we need to think about ways that we can maybe not, I don't know if tap into is the right word, but like this feeling of like, I'm disconnected and technology is not what I want. I don't want more technology. I don't want more gadgets. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about this when I thought like my letters that I did with my Kickstarter, the printed letters that people got in the mail, they were so excited about that. Mm-hmm. And I think because it's different and also because it's a physical thing. Mm-hmm. So I think many ways retro stuff has an appeal that maybe tech stuff doesn't. I don't know. That's just a thought.
Yeah.
Mull over.
Yeah. I mean, there are going to be people that disagree with this. I mean, Joanna Penn, if she happens to listen, this is going to go, these women don't know what they're talking about. And that's fine. But Joanna, we love them. But yeah, I mean, I just think that a lot of people are really, you know, they're overwhelmed with the technology in their lives. You know, I mean, I know that I am. I know that this phone in my hand currently is the bane of my existence, but also it's so, so helpful. I mean, you know, you just have a computer in your hand, but it also causes problems in my life that I did not have before I had a phone in my hand. So all the time.
Yeah. Well, what comes to mind with this for me is Joanna has talked about like beautiful books, like print books that are unusual and have different special things about them, like interiors or foil on the cover and stuff.
Right.
So I think that's one way to look at this is like, if you want to be different and kind of appeal to people who are tired of tech or don't want more complications in their life, they don't want to download the new app for the new reader or whatever, then like a physical item. And then the other thing is connections with people. I mean, I feel like that kind of falls into this category too.
That
like maybe we don't want more Facebook groups. I know I'm kind of maxed out on Facebook groups, but we would go to an in-person event for books maybe. Right. So that's something that there's different complications with that, and it's harder to do that across, you know, you'd have to be more local than national, where you can reach a lot of people if you do like a Zoom call or whatever. But whereas if you have like a library event, that's going to be a smaller pool, but you're going to have a closer connection probably with those people.
Right.
So anyway.
Very good.
So that's kind of the three trends that I pulled out of the article, and we'll link to the article and the infographic, customer service, branding, and disengaging from tech, which were all, you know, kind of interesting. And I think we would like to hear if you have any ideas on how you can apply those to your business. We can put a post in the group, and if you want to give us your thoughts, we'd love to hear them. And I think that's all we have for us today, right?
So I thought we could do some lessons learned from this year.
Okay.
So why don't you go first, Sarah?
Okay. I think for me, I've learned a lot about direct sales, like very specifically, like I've tried Kickstarter, I've tried the Shopify store, and I feel like there's a way I can fit that into my business, but I don't think it's going to be the way everybody else. I mean, it's going to be unique to me and what I feel comfortable with, and I haven't quite figured that out yet. But I do know that like launching the book first, like I did the Kickstarter for the new book, I have it for sale now on my store. It's available for pre-order, but I told everybody, hey, if you want to get it now, you can buy it from me. And I have been surprised and happy that so many people are buying the print, ebook, and audiobook from me. Mm. And so I feel like that's probably the pattern I will use going forward. I don't know if I'll always do a Kickstarter, but I always release it first on my store. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've learned more about, I think probably what I'll do is if I'm going to do ads for direct sales, I'll probably hire somebody because I just don't enjoy ads. Mm-hmm. So things like that. Like, I think I've had to get in there and try some things to figure out how I want to do direct sales. And I don't think there's one right way to do direct sales. I think you can do it however you want. You can set up a store, or you can have a landing page, or you can have a buy button. Just, you know, you got to figure it out. So that's, I think, like my big lesson for 2023 is just, I feel like I've not written as much like new content.
Right.
I've been learning how to do this other stuff. And I feel like I'm kind of getting my footing back where I can get back into the writing. So that's kind of where I am.
I love that.
Yeah. What about you?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you in a minute, but I was going to say, Sarah says she's not a risk taker, and she's not. she's pretty risk averse. However, as we've talked about on here, she tries things all the time, but she tries them with good information.
Like, yes. And that makes me feel safe because I'm like, oh, I'm going to take this course. This person's already done this. Yes. I just realized that about myself. Yes. That's I'm okay. If I'm following along after somebody else, I'm definitely not the trailblazer.
But you're one of the first adapters.
To be like two or three people behind.
Yes. I want to sit back and then I want somebody else to do it for me pretty much. But that's not completely true.
No, that's not true. I would say
I want to watch and see what happens, which is weird because I am not risk averse. Like, I'll take a risk.
And you do stuff. You do things that I would never do. You're like, oh, I'll try this. And so it's what we're doing, I guess. Yeah. But I just listened to a podcast, the Somewhere Books Show with Brian Cohen, and he had on Becca Syme talking about changes in the industry. Uh-huh. And I'll link to that too in the show notes because she talked about the adoption curve and how like with AI and all these things, direct sales, how like you have the people who jump in and then you have the people a little bit further behind. And she said it probably takes about 4 years to totally get through the curve. So I think it's interesting.
Very interesting.
Yeah. So I'm definitely not at the forefront. But anyway.
You're not far behind though. You're not far behind.
We'll see.
Well, you know, y'all know this has been it's been a hard year. And a good year in a lot of ways. I mean, there have been some great things that have happened in my personal life. And even professionally, you know, going to conferences, connecting with people, those things have been so great. But the things I've learned this year are that when you're going through a hard time, things will move forward, even if you think you can't. And that's really hard to accept, but the best you can, you need to accept it. You just need to know. Things are going to move forward. People are going to move forward in their careers that, and you know, that I've seen a lot of that this year. You know, friends of mine who weren't doing as well when I was doing well are now killing it. And it's so great to see them, you know, just really, really break out. And, but that's hard too, when you're doing nothing, you know, that's hard. So you just have to accept it. Like, that's going to happen. It doesn't mean, and then that doesn't mean that you're left behind or that you're never going to, you know, it doesn't mean that. It just means right now that it's their turn and they're doing great and be happy for them. Like that will, like, that's probably the biggest thing. And probably I can attribute that to my mother. You know, she just really has always instilled in us that to be happy for other people when the good things happen. And, you know, I am genuinely happy for them. The next thing under that is fight against feeling like you have to keep up, which is, I mostly just said that. And then as you feel more able, focus on what you can control, which are things like your attitude, your effort, and the way you treat others. And, you know, we can control those things. Everything else is beyond our control in so many ways. And you know, kindness goes a long, long way in this business. Yes. And I think we've forgotten that just in the world in general, but yeah. especially in this business. And then the second thing is to surround yourself with good people. I have 8 people in my life that I talk to pretty much every day. Sarah's one of them. I don't talk to you every day, but we talk multiple times a week. But yeah. I'm connected to them, and they're in this business, and it keeps you connected to this business you're in, you know, mm-hmm. and you need to listen to those people and believe them when they tell you things like, you're going to be okay. you're not losing your place or anything. And I yeah. have always believed them, but as I've come to the end and I am feeling better, that is what I realized. Yeah. If I could believe them sooner, that would have helped me. And they helped talk you off the ledge, and yeah. that always helps. And they help you stay connected to reality, because if you're in with a group that's mm-hmm. In your community of business, and you see them struggle with things, maybe not on the scale that you feel like you are because of a personal thing, as in my case, or just something else, then you see, oh, wait, it's not just happening to me. You know, right. that helps you stay grounded in reality.
Yeah.
The last thing is take care of yourself. For the first probably 6 months after my sister died, I slept so much. I mean, mm-hmm. I just slept yeah. a lot. And some of that's, you know, that's grief. Grief just mm-hmm. makes me hard. But sleeping, exercise, I tried to walk as much as I could. And it helped. You know, it just helps to get outside and to be, mm-hmm. even if you can't walk, just go outside and sit in the sun for a few minutes. That really helps. And then therapy helps a lot. Take care of your mental health. Having said that, well, therapy just helps you with that doom spiral and the catastrophizing that mm-hmm. I do. I don't know.
Oh, if I do that too.
But it helps with that. And, you know, it doesn't take it away. I would love to tell you that, like, it is a fix all and you're going to be great. It doesn't, but because nobody's tried harder than me to be okay this year. It's just, some things just take time and some things just take walking through the process, and it's so mm-hmm. damn hard. Mm-hmm. But it's worth it. It's worth mm-hmm. it. It's just hard. And then, I was just recently, diagnosed with ADHD. So now I'm taking medication for that, and I feel better and just more clear-headed. Now, I've only been on it a few weeks, so it's going to take a little bit of time, but things like that, like, take care of yourself. And if you think there's a problem, if you think you're struggling, if it's more than just grief, but you're depressed, go see somebody about that. Like, don't mm-hmm. just suffer. You don't have to. And so those are the things. And then finally, life is short. Spend the time, take the photos, and say the words. Mm-hmm. Those are my lessons learned this year. I can't talk, but those are my lessons learned.
Those are some deep lessons, very good lessons. And I love the one about, basically, it's like, if you have yourself, if you are surrounded with people, mm-hmm. maybe not necessarily your same age or writing your same mm-hmm. genre, but like, you get a different, mm-hmm. you have better perspective because mm-hmm. you see things from different points of view and they can help you see that. I love mm-hmm. that.
Yeah.
So I loved all of it.
Yeah. Yeah. My gang, they all know who they are. And believe me, I would not have made it through this year without them. I just wouldn't have. They've been amazing and so kind and encouraging and, you know, they just let me vent and they let me go off on a tangent and then they reel me back in, which is, you know, which always need.
And it's so true. Like, we want everything so quickly. And I think part of that mentality that we've had is like, we must get our books out. We must get mm-hmm. in this market. And that's fading a little bit as mm-hmm. we kind of get out of the gold rush time. Mm-hmm. But it's still really hard not mm-hmm. to have that mentality that I've got to get everything done and it must be done. And it's hard to kind of slow it down and step it back, but we've got to. Mm-hmm. We can't keep at the pace, can't keep going at the pace we have been.
Mm-hmm. So. And you know, when you focus on other people, you know, it takes that spotlight off of you and that glaring, very mm-hmm. kind of destructive spotlight that's on you and your problems and your things. And it really does make you feel better to just be happy for somebody else. I mean, am I always like, do I have that moment of, oh dang, I wish that was me? Yeah, I do. But it's very quickly replaced by, I am so happy for them. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad people are finally seeing them for the amazing yeah. author that they really are, and or the amazing person they really are. And I just, if we could all cultivate more of that, this community would be so much better. Mm-hmm. So much better. And not because, and as I said, that didn't come from me naturally. My mother instilled that in me. So
so thanks, Mom.
Yeah, thanks, Mom.
So yeah, well, that's been great. All right. Yeah. Well, I think that we're wrapped up 2023 really well.
Wrapped it up. Yep. Tied it in a little bow. Yeah. So
yeah. Looking forward to 2024.
Yeah. So much. You're just like, you're the reason I got out of bed a lot of the days this year. And I really appreciate it and all the kindness that has come my way through this community that we have mm-hmm. our podcast. And when I went to 20 books last year after my sister had passed away, it had only been like a month, and people that listened to the podcast that came up to me and hugged me and were crying and genuinely were so sorry for me and grieving for me and wanted to encourage me, I mean, that is mm-hmm. just priceless. And so yeah, We have an amazing group of people that listen to us. And
yeah,
we do not take you for granted at all.
Yes, we're very grateful that you're along with us on this crazy author life journey and life journey.
Yep. So stay with us. Hopefully, we'll have another 200 coming up in a few years. So, but we just appreciate it, and we'll see you guys next.
Thanks for listening to the Wish I'd Known Then podcast. We hope this episode inspired you, empowered you, and made you laugh a little bit too. If you loved it, tell your friends about it. And if you feel so inclined, leave us a review. We look forward to being with you again next week.